who don't you want lining up across from you for those 60 minutes? Who's the number one guy, the one guy I don't want out there?
I want anyone out there. Whoever, everyone's welcome out there.
Anyone. Jalen Ramsey. Deion Sanders in his prime.
Whoever wanted it could get it.
David. Football. Football David. The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
There he was, the best wide receiver on the face of the earth, Antonio Brown. I encourage you, made the man. You go back and listen to both of last week's episodes of the Dave Dameshek Football Program. We sat with Bucky Brooks. We figured out the Jenga pieces for all 32 NFL teams. And then on Thursday's show, we talked to Antonio Brown. You just heard a little bit of him there, as well as Willie McGinnis, one of our favorite guys here at NFL Media. All things Patriots at an uncertain time at minimum. But now, those are in the rearview mirror. As I say, go back and listen to them on your own time because it's time to look forward. Teams are in training camp. Who better to join us now? This means football season when we see this face shadowing our door. He is the longtime Jacksonville Jaguar. He, of course, is a UCLA Bruins legend, and he also played for the Oakland Raiders. Now he is the radio voice of the Los Angeles Rams. It's Maurice Jones-Drew. What's the poop, fella? Excuse me.
Yo, has it been that long, Shaq?
It has been. Wait,
are you kidding me? That's where he's born and grown. You can cut it now. The respect is done. He disrespected.
You're addicted to the end zone. Now we can cut it. I'm sorry. Check. I forgot that.
It's only been a summer. This happens every year. I go away for the summer. I come back, and we get right back to it.
Can I tell you something? You've never looked better.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm working. I ride my bike to work now. I move, so I ride my bike
to
work every day. Yeah, every day I ride my bike.
That's a weird sight.
Well, I do it so I can get exercise, get my cardio in.
But imagine the Angelinos out there. There are a lot of Bruins fans, UCLA fans
around
here.
When you're on a bike, they really don't bother you because, you know, you're in the zone.
Is that Maurice Jones? Nah,
he's riding a bike. Are you kidding me? The guy would never do such a thing.
How's summer treated you, Maurice?
It's been going well, you know. Just hanging out, being dad with the kids. Went on a couple vacations. I'm coaching my son's Pop Warner team this year, so that's going to be something on to the
what
plate.
What fun, yeah.
It's going to be hectic, but it's going to be exciting.
But I mean for the kids, what a thrill.
Oh, yeah. No, it's going to be – I mean, I was the coach last year. I was an assistant coach last year, so I made a couple practices, but mainly was on the game time. Now I'll be full time, so that'll be fun. And doing this back with you guys again, and then obviously the Rams, and I'm excited, man. Football's back.
It's exciting. It's so many people who inhabit Studio 66 to spin for NFL Media now – are broadcasters for one of the 32 NFL teams out there. Daniel Jeremiah now joining Matt Money Smith up there in the LA Chargers booth. Maurice Jones-Drew, of course, has been up there. Now going into year three, hard to believe. A lot of people talking about these Rams going to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, you know what? It's exciting. I've kept in contact. I've been to a couple practices. I try to, you know, it's kind of hard because I'm working with the NFL Network. You want to be like Rams, but what they're doing, it's tough not to do. Obviously, making those moves to be better, and then hearing all the back, like, oh, they're just buying. They're trying to buy a championship. Well, you just want to improve your team every year, and they got an opportunity here via trade or free agency to go get some guys, and they did that. And to be honest, remember, they traded for two guys, and they traded for three guys, and they picked up one guy in free agency. So they did it the right way.
Well, the thing that we have talked about, you and me and anyone here on the DDFP for really 5 or 6 years now, is the idea that I remember talking about this back, and in fact, we kibitzed with Bucky Brooks. We did a home and home, move the sticks in DDFP last week.
Oh, really?
We did the Jenga pieces for all 32 teams, NFC on the move the sticks side, and then we did AFC on DDFP last week. We also kibitzed with one Antonio Brown, the finest wide receiver.
Yes, to grace the cover.
Yeah, in all the world. And, yes, he's on the cover of your favorite game, Madden. But we were talking about the fact that way back to the days of Russell Wilson v. Colin Kaepernick in the NFC West showdown that the Niners and Seahawks had, they were both on rookie deals. When you're on rookie deal, when your quarterback, who the high-end quarterbacks, once they get to a certain year, they're making $20-plus million. This compromise maximizes the overall depth that you can put on the rest of your roster when you have the luxury of having a high-end QB on his rookie deal. This allows you to spend that money elsewhere. It seems like the Rams are doing it.
Well, I think you saw that with the Eagles as well.
They
were able to win a championship with their guy on a rookie deal, and they can still go out and make their team better. But the Rams, they've drafted well. Mm-hmm. You know, they've had superstars in almost every draft. Todd Gurley, Aaron Donald, obviously Jared Goff now. And so you're waiting for the younger guys who are going to be these younger superstars coming out. But to get Marcus Peters via trade, right, and then have that fifth-year option with him, then obviously get Tlaib on a deal that's team-friendly, to then go and get a one-year deal for Sue to kind of prove what he's able to do. And so they went out and done some great things. Brandon Cooks, you know, being able to lock him up, obviously, after getting him via trade from New England. So they went out and they've really attacked certain guys and guys that fit their scheme and guys that they like and they want to be around. And offensively, that's going to help their young quarterback because they do have a couple years with them until they have to get that deal done. So they're excited. And again, when you have a rookie quarterback, you can then build a team around them. But when you get guys like Matt Ryan, who's making $30 million a year, or some of these other quarterbacks, you have to play to that.
That's right.
That ability, that payment.
Because the next one up is Kirk Cousins. Let's see him live up to that deal.
You have to live up to that deal. Now, he has some more. He has help around him, which is fine. But Matt Ryan, for example, and the situation is going in Atlanta where Julio's upset. You just paid him all this money. Julio's like, well, what about me? I'm 12th now, and I'm going to keep going down as these other guys are getting paid, and I'm outperforming them. That's going to happen, right? So you have to figure out a way to balance that.
I hear you on that, and bad times, I think, just in the short term for Falcons fans. I can't imagine that Julio actually gets into week one without taking the field, but perhaps I'll be proven wrong on that one. Anyway, we talk all the time about it's easy to be optimistic at this time of the year about almost any team. I have dashed the dreams already for a handful of pro football
like
teams
who?
That are not going to the playoffs. I'm going to tell you another one today, Maurice, that is definitely not going to the postseason. I've already announced the Giants, the Seahawks.
The Giants?
The Giants ain't going to the playoffs, Maurice.
You may want to pull that one back.
Nope, I don't. I don't want
pull
to do
that
anything.
Put that one back in the bag.
Committed to history. Who else, Emma VP?
You said.
Do you remember Maurice, by the way?
Emma, don't do that. We talk all the time.
Yeah, we do.
I was
going
to say, don't do that.
Yeah.
We text.
Remember Eddie Spaghetti back there?
I saw him at the ESPYs. He didn't see me, though. He was too busy filming and following OBJ. But that's neither here nor there. I get it. I'm not Odell, so
you
I understand.
Gave Maurice the high
I didn't see Maurice at all. I actually brought up Maurice to Maurice's great friend, Mercedes Lewis. And I was like, I actually said, I've not seen Maurice around the NFL in quite a bit. And he's like, you know what? Me too. I've been trying to hit him up to go work out with him, and he hasn't answered. Exactly.
I've been on vacation. What else do you want from me? Who works out on vacation, Shaq?
Not this me. Guy. I don't work this out.
Guy. I do.
I don't work out when I'm not on vacation. How about
we gotta
that?
Get back. I've been working out, man. It's time to get sexy again.
You know what? I realized I've reached that point of critical mass, of too much mass. I'm fat.
You see, that's where I was at that like last year. We went to the draft, and I was like, oh, it's hot. It's sticky. And I was like, rolling over was a little tough. So I was like, you know what? This is time.
My own children keep pointing out the fact that I have a pot belly. Now, while that's disrespectful,
Whoa.
It's also not inaccurate.
Talking about your children, your daughter is an amazing hooper.
Oh, did you see that
I saw
clip?
The video. How did you find that? Like, you were just filming the whole time and just clipped that off, or you were like, all right, she's going to do this right here.
No, she is amazing. She's 11 years old, and she's smallish for an 11-year-old.
But she's quick.
And she's out there with girls that are 14 or 15 years old. They are almost, I mean, literally, they must outweigh her. They must double her.
No
her
question.
Weight, legitimately, some of these
she
girls.
Shook the girl, got out, like, girl tried to grab her and got off and got to the layup and put it in. I was like, wow.
She is
I know she didn't get that from Shaq.
No, she did. Listen, I'll
I know that,
that
didn't come from Shaq.
Nope. It did not come from me. I got the Frankenstein feet. Now I'm coordinated, Maurice.
That's okay.
I'm coordinated. I just am not
I just don't think
foot.
You don't have the competitive spirit that
That's
I saw.
Not true.
I saw the competitive spirit. It was like it's like the
he
Holy
does have
Ghost.
That too.
She has this competitive spirit where she doesn't care who it is.
Last weekend, she played in the game and her team was losing. This was a team of all stars. I mean, just really Amazonian kind of women out there. And like I say, girls going into high school. She's just now starting sixth grade and she's out there with girls going into high school and half their size and everything else. And she got knocked to the floor and it hurt her. Legitimately hurt her wrist. And she got a little teary eyed and the ref came over. Do you need to go out of the game? And she through her tears said, nope, I'm staying in. And she went out there. And this little girl, you would have, Maurice, I mean, we might want to do some DNA testing, Maury Povich style.
Why not?
Because she's running down the field, throwing elbows while she's dribbling the ball to get these big girls off of her.
She's physical. Physicality comes in every sport. You need that, especially women's basketball. I can see it.
I've never been prouder of another human being throwing those games around. Yeah.
So my daughter's in cheerleading, and this past weekend I hosted her team bonding. It was 32 girls at my house. Amazing. It was crazy.
It really is super fun. But
I have to tell you, though, the competitive spirit with these young girls is so we went to Orlando for this big cheer competition, the biggest one of the year. It's called the Summit, and they got second, right?
Awesome.
Which they probably should have got first, but they didn't perform the way they should have. And so, you know, my boys, on the other hand, when they lose, they tear up. They're crying. I hate this. I don't want to do it. And I'm trying to console them. She came over to me like, hey, let's go get something to drink. And I was like, oh, my goodness. You have that in you. Mm-hmm. You gave it your best. That's all that mattered.
That's exactly how she is. She does not cry after the game.
No.
She just has a mentality like
everyone else. Parents are crying. Kids are crying. She's just sitting there stale faced like.
Can I tell you, her coach is a former Harlem Globetrotter.
Oh.
And so it's great. And he also coaches my son's team, too. So it's a great, rare opportunity, real stroke of luck for both of them to be out there with a guy on that level. But, you know, he's talking to the rest of the girls, and he's got them all huddled up after the fact. And my daughter announces to the team, don't worry, these girls are on the schedule again later in the season.
The football gods, not the basketball gods, bless you with another opportunity. It's amazing.
That's what she finds out immediately. Oh, hey, Mom, can you check the schedule and see? Oh, we do? Good. Then no trouble. So they beat us now. We'll see them again.
Shrug your shoulders. Water off the duck's back.
Later.
I love it. I have to go watch her.
It really is awesome. But anyway, So we've announced two House MVP. The
Seahawks.
Seahawks are not going to the playoffs.
The Seahawks. Colts. I can see the Colts.
Colts not going. And the Browns.
Ooh, I don't know. That may be something. Listen to me.
Come on. They ain't going to.
You always used to tell us this when I first started here, Chuck. You have to be bold in what you say. Mm-hmm. Bold. I'm going to be bold here today. I don't even know what day it is.
Don't get crazy. It's not even
Tuesday,
August yet.
July 24th here.
Are you going to say this?
Right. I think, first of all, I'll say this. The Browns will beat the Steelers week one.
I can kind of buy that.
That'll be the first thing.
Okay.
After that, they will make the playoffs.
I mean, no team.
They will make the playoffs.
I don't know for fact that this is the case, but I'm pretty sure.
Tyrod will be
no
the second
team is
quarterback
ever, that would mean
to end a drought in 2 years.
That would mean adding, at minimum, you would assume, 10 wins to their previous seasons total.
I think the Bengals aren't what everyone expects them to be. I know the Ravens are. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't even know who their quarterback's going to be.
What do you think?
Well, I just want to – like, the social department is showing all Lamar Jackson, but then Harbaugh's, like, fighting for Joe, but it doesn't seem that way. I think they're going to be leaning more towards Lamar in that situation. Yes, they have a good defense, but you got to account for turnovers and different things like that, taking care of the ball. I think Cleveland has a quarterback who doesn't turn the ball over, who finally has some weapons around him. When he did have weapons like Sammy Watkins and Robert Woods, he lit it up. He put up numbers, touchdowns, and did great things like that. So I think now you have, obviously, Gordon, Landry, Coleman. You have Njoku.
Well, I don't know what's going on with Gordon.
Let's assume he's there. And then Njoku, and then you have Carlos Hyde in the backfield. And then you have a defense that's been solid. And if they can stay healthy, they've built a nice nucleus of veteran guys that can go out there and play and added some young.
I don't like the
first pick. I didn't like the first pick because
I didn't like the fourth pick either.
Oh,
get
I love
Bradley
the fourth pick.
Chubb. Get
no,
Chubb.
You know why? You know why you want the fourth pick? You remember this, and I'm going to tell you this. Everyone in your division, there's one guy that you're going to try to stop, right? So obviously, in that situation, they're like, look, we got to try to stop AB. We have to have a guy we can lock up on AB. Tall corners can't lock AB up. AB struggles with smaller corners like Verrett and Casey Hayward, the Chargers guys, or. Mm-hmm. A guy that can move like him and be quick like him. He beats up on Ramses because they're so long and lanky. He can outrun them and outquick them. It's tougher when they're smaller guys. You want a guy that can get in and out of breaks the same way he can and be on him, and that's why they did it. He's been looking outstanding from what I'm hearing in camp. So I like the fourth pick, and I think they've made some Chubb. I love getting Chubb to help with that cold weather.
You know what they could have done, too? Forget about the quarterback altogether with Tyrod Taylor, at least in the first round, and gotten Chubb one.
Yeah.
And then gotten Denzel Ward, and all of a sudden you're looking at a real scary.
Now you're looking at a serious defense. But, you know, I think, again, that they've added enough pieces now to be able to go 8, maybe 10 games and sneak some games in there.
Maybe. But by the way, if I'm the Ravens, again, the way I always look at it, and I know Joe Flacco, this is a hard case to make because Joe Flacco had that one magical five-week period, you know, in
January. Like 17 years ago?
That's it. But it requires that you ignore the other nine seasons plus, almost an entire other season.
That's what happens.
And that's how you have to weigh it. And I understand why the Ravens back then had to pay him. They couldn't let their Super Bowl winning QB walk out the door. But on the other hand, in 2018, if John Harbaugh, if Ozzie and everybody else in the organization, unless they can rightly say, you know what, maybe Flacco can get lightning in the bottle one last time for us and win the Super Bowl. Unless you believe that that's the case, which I don't believe anybody rationally is saying that, then why not go with the kid now?
Well, I think the biggest thing is, and we have to understand the politics and dynamics of the NFL. As a head coach, I'm married to my quarterback. You rarely get a head coach that gets two quarterbacks, right? Especially if you have one that you pay. So with that being said, Harbaugh's like, look, this is the guy I'm married to. We're joined at the hip. I have to promote this guy because I know if he doesn't do well, they're going to be like, we'll just get another coach in because we've already paid it. And then on top of that, we were talking about young quarterbacks on deals helping you build teams. Well, the opposite happens when you have an old quarterback on a big deal and you can't build your team. So Joe Flacco was a guy that had he was one of the first guys to get the $20 million deal. But he didn't show that he was worth that money. And so they couldn't pay a lot of guys around. They lost a lot of guys through free agency. They tried to make some additions here and there, but, you know, they didn't draft well.
So no,
you pay a guy, you got to draft well. If you can't draft well, I mean, it was a lot that happened in the last, like, 3 or 4 years that really hurt the Ravens.
You have just a guy at quarterback, and yet they did nothing really significant to build up around him. Perriman's a bust of a pick. That was probably the guy that they expected to rise.
Well, they wanted him to be Torrey Smith, and that's hard to pick a guy. Okay, Torrey Smith was a great deep threat. He was fast. He did a good job. But it's hard to be like, okay, we need another Torrey Smith. Mm-hmm. Like, no, I need a playmaker. So then you go and get Steve Smith, who's a playmaker, and then he ends up being your best wide receiver since Anquan Boldin, right, who was another older guy. So they've just missed a lot on some young talent that they got to get back to. And I think Ozzie, you know, for me, that he did a great job in this draft, drafting some guys that are very talented. And then when you draft a guy in the first round, I mean, he's telling
that's
you.
That's it. I know this guy people love to ignore that. Yes.
He's going to play.
And by the way, did you see Deshaun Watson last year? That's why you put Lamar Jackson.
Did you
see
Russell Wilson when his rookie year? Did you see these guys that come in and change franchises because their athletic ability allows them to? They're dynamic and they can do different things.
The only issue is there anywhere out there, and not that they have to resolve Joe Flacco's contract or purge him from the roster, but is there any taker out there among the other 31 teams that you could maybe give Flacco to this before the season starts?
I don't know if you can, because most teams have either they have a young quarterback on a young deal that's doing well, or they have an older quarterback where they're making a lot of money. I think Joe Flacco will, after this year, move on and go to another team and end up starting. Possibly, yeah. But I think right now he's stuck with the Ravens and they're stuck with him. They've done it. You know, my thing is, you've done it this long. Why not just get this last year out the way and then start over?
I will tell you who is another team that is going to be added, sadly for them and their fan base, to the non-playoff team list. No playoffs for you for this team. But first, let's talk about a couple other things. You talk about your Rams and Todd Gurley landing the big deal that a lot of other high-end running backs have coveted, including Le'Veon Bell. How say you on Todd Gurley's big deal?
I think
$45 million guaranteed.
Well, that's the funny thing, because I was just in a meeting with Charlie Cass, and we were going back and forth, and we were arguing. And I was trying to explain to him, and I get where he's coming from, because as a GM, you think of APY, right? Average per year. That's what you're thinking of. How much money are we paying him per year? As a running back, I don't care about that. You can pay me $1 per year. All I care about is guaranteed, because our contracts aren't fully guaranteed like the NBA or Kirk Cousins or other guys, you know, like some of these rookies. So, you know, my thing was, well, Todd Gurley, they saw the deal that Saquon Barkley had, right? Which is, it's a rookie deal, yes, understand it. It's completely different than a veteran deal. But on the guarantee side, it's the exact same thing. And so if Saquon's getting $30 million guaranteed, if I'm Todd or any other back that has done anything in this league, I'm sorry. Even if they chose to draft him at number two and it's slotted, that's fine. They knew what they were going to pay him. That's completely fine. But I can't, as a guy who's been productive in this league, take less than that. And so the Rams, knowing that situation and knowing that organization, they really – love Todd and what they know that he's one of the reasons this engine, this team is able to go. And so they want to make sure they lock him in. It's a team. It's a, and in the long term, it's a team friendly deal, and it's a great deal for Todd. So it works out well. But for all the people that are listening, you know, when you hear Ian Rappaport and some of these other guys talk about the deals, like the, for players not at, not that are not wide receivers or not tight ends or guys that can't play a long period of time, obviously the only position that is running back, you're worried about the guarantee. That's all you care about.
Well, that's exactly right. And that's why, though, I get it that you want more if you're Le'Veon Bell. I also am a scaredy cat by nature. And so if I were Le'Veon Bell and you said, here's $19 million guaranteed right now, and you're playing a position, by the way, you've gotten hurt a number of times already in pro football, I would just take it. And then I'd
But you would be upset, though. Because then you see Todd, coming with 45, and you took 19. Now we're all in the uproar, right? Now we're all upset. And let me say this too about the Pittsburgh Steelers and the deal they put out there. They only guarantee they're known, and let me say that they're known for only guaranteeing your first year, and so that's why you say they may say, oh yeah, we're going to give you, you know, this much guarantee, but that may not be like in your pocket right now. That may be something called injury only guarantee, or you know, some other type of guarantee that you don't get right away. And so as a player, you want to make sure that when it says guaranteed, it means that you're going to get it regardless of what happens.
But doesn't it matter, though, where you are?
No.
It doesn't make a difference.
I could be playing Antarctica if you give me enough cash.
Okay, so it's not going to bother Le'Veon Bell after what is going to be probably, I mean, if the Steelers don't at minimum make the playoffs, that would be deeply disappointing, obviously. But if they if they're in the mix in January,
you want to talk about if it's me?
Yeah,
I'm as loyal to the team as loyal to me.
I know,
that's the truth.
Okay, but how about cutting your nose to spite your face if you're Le'Veon Bell? I get it.
How is he cutting his nose?
Because if he goes to the Colts or to some bum team, I'm not saying the Colts are a bum team in 2019.
But we'll just say he goes to the Antioch whatever, and they pay him $60 million.
Because don't you care about playing in meaningful games as opposed to just throwing it out there?
I care about longevity and being able, you know, to live my life and enjoy my life.
It goes back to the conversation that fans have since I've been awake and watching sports. I mean, if you get $19 million in addition to what he's already made, how much money does anybody need?
When I asked that question to business people?
Yeah.
Because we get that question. I'm like, how do you answer that? Just more.
I get it, but there's a cavernous...
We don't question these owners.
No, but you
we
know
don't
why?
Question Roger Goodell.
If I could get to... Yeah, I get the idea of that.
Right?
No, I completely understand what you're saying, but here's my response to that.
We don't question these quarterbacks who don't deserve... $20 million for Sam Bradford?
I know, but listen to what I'm telling you.
How many deals does he have?
There's a difference between making... over the course of your career, making $40 million or $50 million and making $500 million. That gap is not going to be bridged by holding out and taking $5 million more here or there to go play for some bum team than for
a how do you know? But how do you know it's going to be five or more million?
Because I'm just saying, if the goal is I want to be a titan of industry.
If the goal is to have guaranteed money, and let's say Pittsburgh is offering you 19 and a half, right? And then Team X is offering you 50. What are you going to do? If you know structurally that you're going to get $50 million compared to 19, barring injury,
that's a very extreme example.
But that's Todd Gurley. So if let's just say Todd's getting 45 guaranteed, Pittsburgh might have said, "Okay, Le'Veon, you're getting, we'll give you 40, but the only real guaranteed money is only in the first year, and we're going to pay you 19." Are you going to take that? No. You're going to be like, no, I want real guarantee. And then it's not – again, this is the way Pittsburgh's done business. That's completely fine. This is just one of those situations where it didn't work out, and you go on. You move on.
Do you suspect, knowing you've played the position, you've been the key offensive piece on an NFL team, do you think Le'Veon Bell at some point in September or, I don't know, even in late December – says to somebody, you know, Tomlin or anyone else, I don't want so many touches, man. I got to keep myself healthy for next year.
No,
like, isn't this a mercenary situation? His agent announced that this is probably his last year.
Yeah,
now a mercenary.
That's the truth. There's a lot of guys whose last year it is in Pittsburgh and in other teams. I mean, you know that going in, but you still have that competitive spirit. He still wants to win, and he's going to compete. I mean, it was the same way last year, right? Last year it was like, look, we're probably not going to get this deal done. You knew going forward, and Pittsburgh thought that they were going to be able to do a deal similar to the one they had before. Like, no, the price tag goes up because now the franchise and all those things. So, I mean, he's still going to go out there and play. He's going to go out there and ball and do his thing. He's going to win games because it's better for him to do that, right? It's better for him to go out there and continue to win games and put the numbers he's been putting up so that when you go to free agency that you have obviously more teams that want him. So,
and
you got to remember, he's young. He's not old. He's only 25 or 26. It's
but
not
another
like
another year, but if he's smart, if his agent is smart, he'll say, Levian, whatever you can do to get in the coach's ears here about this, it's not good
you
for
don't,
you to have
you don't
another.
Want, you don't want him to say that, Sheck. So stop checking.
I don't want him to, but I'm telling and you, I'm if telling I'm Levian Bell, won't. I'd say I don't want 400 more touches this year. My body's getting worn out.
He's young. He's a young guy. He keeps himself in great shape. He's working out right now. And whenever that time comes for him to go and play, he'll be ready to go.
Next, I want to talk about this. This sticks in my craw every time we see it. We saw Darrell Revis have a big sign a contract for one day so he can retire as a New York Jet. Why not? Because who is this? Whose benefit is this? For Darrell Revis, is it deluding himself? Are the Jets buying this nonsense?
For the fans, suddenly.
All right. So you retired.
Like, I played for Oakland for 1 year, and I could have easily been petty and been like, oh, I'm not doing it. But no, it's for the people.
You did this?
Yeah, I did it in Jacksonville.
Is that true?
Yeah,
I remember.
It's probably the only contract I've signed where I didn't get any money. But I told them they got to give me at least a penny. So it's not for the principal.
It's not for the franchise. It's not for the player.
It's for the fans and your family, the people that, you know, have been supporting you and been about, like, I would do events in Jacksonville. A lot of the people show up. I mean, even now when I went back, we did a couple interviews back this spring, and I took my boys with me. And people haven't seen my kids since, you know, 4 or 5, 6 years ago when they were babies. And so I think my oldest son was like 3 or 4. And so some of the people that I was like leaving them with people that I knew, and they were hanging out with some of their old friends. I mean, that's what it's more about than is going back and just telling those people thank you if you don't live in that specific city.
All right. Listen, the Jags have done, you know, quietly pretty well for the first quarter century. You know, you guys have had your playoff runs.
Yeah, you had some nice seasons.
Had some special success.
Then we've had some bad times.
Well, but you've had some nice players come through there, especially at running back, and I'm not just saying that because I'm seated next to you. It's interesting that in just 25 years you've had the number of really high-quality running backs, and now the defensive pieces are sort of something that you can point to and say, look at that. This franchise has had a good run in a couple of departments. But you're not the New York Jets. This is the franchise of Joe Namath. You won the most significant Super Bowl title in the history of Super Bowls because it shifted the balance, or it made the world look at the AFL a little bit differently when Namath and company took down the mighty NFL. You can make a strong case that there would be no.
Yeah, but a lot of people, just to be honest, a lot of people don't even know about that nowadays.
Okay, but my point is this: it's not like they're not without some great achievements. The Jets need to do this for Darrell Reeves. Fall all over themselves like this? I'll tell you why.
Because
he's
going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. That's why. That's why they did it.
You know that, and I both know. Where's the dignity? He went to the arch nemesis. He went to the not just your rival.
You know how many people have done that? You don't know who? Damian Woody did it. Who else has done it?
I don't care what Damian Woody.
They switch back and forth all the time.
Damian Woody is not going to retire as one of the all-time greats.
He didn't go right after when he was in his prime to New England.
He wasn't in his prime. He was the key addition to that Super Bowl team in 49.
No, if they hand the ball off, none of that matters. Seahawks, right?
But
he didn't make the play in that game. Malcolm Butler. It was like 40 to 30 something. Like, it was a high-scoring game for those two teams. Darrell Revis in his prime went to Tampa. Right after dealing with Tampa, came back to the Jets. Went to the Jets twice. So you have to then retire there. Then after they got done, then he goes to New England. Like, once you let him go, he can go
done
wherever he
with
wants.
Him. He abandoned.
They
the
let
Jets
him go
so he could go up and play for the arch nemesis. And you're going to celebrate that?
If you know what, the Jets had a choice. They could have kept him, but they decided to let him go, and he went on. He moved to another place.
I mean, where's the dignity though?
There's no. I told you the loyalty in this game is long gone.
I don't understand.
When I saw the Colts let Peyton Manning walk, I knew.
What about, though, it's like Beyonce taking Jay-Z back.
She never let him go.
Well, you know what I'm getting at. Jay-Z and Beyonce, they make their
album baby
and all this stuff, and then he goes out and has his fun, and Beyonce's like, well, All right, come on back, you scamp, you. I wouldn't do it. That's the same thing as what the Jets are doing with the Real Reeves.
Wait, what happened with Beyonce? When did all this happen?
Gee, I think you've heard all about it. I don't know the details. MVP. I wish I could fill them in, but I don't know.
I don't know the details.
You've heard the Lemonade album.
I was going to say Lemonade.
Everybody goes through stuff, man. It happens. They're normal people. She made the Lemonade album because half of the world feels like they're going through the same thing, and it's completely different.
All right, but she does. But Beyonce... But
Beyonce,
to celebrate this is crazy.
Beyonce
hasn't said since they're back together. She hasn't said Jay-Z is the greatest man ever.
No, they just took half naked pictures together and posted them all over the internet. That's all.
All right. Well, listen, doesn't make it right.
Yeah, it does.
Spaghetti, you root for the Giants. What do you think about this?
So I have an interesting stance because I, luckily enough, before they built the new stadium, when it used to be Giant Stadium, not the MetLife thing now, I used to have Jet season tickets. So I saw Darrell Revis play.
I love, by the way, the indignity of being a pro football team and playing in a stadium that bears another pro football
team. That's a good point, yeah.
Why not? Who cares? We're just trying to play
the game,
collect his cash.
But anyway, Darrell Revis was the best. Like, to see him play and to see his
prime,
he
probably
was
one of the best players defenders have come through that
100%. You could argue he's probably their best overall player in their
then
history.
Then he slapped them in the face.
No,
and
he went to Tampa and then he tore his ACL for a year. It was after. It wasn't like he went the year he barely lost the defensive player of the year to Charles Woodson. Like he,
you see what I'm saying? Like
he didn't
you're
go during the
more
prime.
Out of it.
They had the two back to back AFC title games. Like he didn't go during that run. Like once the team kind of went on the downslope and everyone realized like, oh, Sanchez stinks, then he left. And it's just like at that point we're like, oh, thanks for your, you know,
then he came back.
Right.
Then he came back and gave you a little taste of it. And then you were like, you know what? We tried to make this work. It didn't work. We'll let you go somewhere else. And then Bill was like, come on over here. We'll take you. Mm-hmm. And then you win one there. It happens. It happens all the time.
I mean, people say that all the time. Oh, you would have taken Brett Favre.
No question. If you needed him, yes.
As a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, if the difference with winning a Super Bowl and not
was
winning
the quarterback,
one was
the
Ray
quarterback
Lewis,
before, no,
if you
the,
said Ray Lewis,
who was the quarterback
say,
before Big Ben?
Keep your Lombardi. I don't
who was
want
the quarterback before Big Ben?
Tommy Madden.
Exactly. If you could have that 5 week Joe Flacco,
no,
or Tommy Maddox, what you gonna do? You gonna take that 5 week Joe Flacco? Because I know you. I was in Pittsburgh for the game, Shaq. I was sitting there amongst the Pittsburgh Steelians or whatever you guys call yourselves, right? And I'm sitting there and I'm watching with my kids. I brought my kids because they needed to experience
how
what it's
like. How
is this
coming up now? Why is this coming up?
And I saw the people, and they were so nice after the fact that they were like, listen, we hope you guys beat New England. Because at the end of the day, that's all that matters. Which then lets me know you're willing to do whatever it takes to beat New England. So if you have to bring some other people over, you'll do that. And that's what they, you know, I get it.
Wow. It's a good thing I didn't travel to the banks of the Three Rivers because I would have been throwing those elbows like my daughter.
Oh, we were throwing snowballs. They were better.
Outrageous behavior. All right. Hey, the other thing is, want to do it now? Is it time for no playoffs for you?
It is.
I refer you, Maurice, and the football world in general, to what I said 2 years ago. You remember when everybody, not last season.
Yeah. I remember.
2016, everybody said, oh, this is the Jags year. When everybody, when all the momentum starts going in a certain direction, oh, this is the sexy new team on the rise. Look out, everybody. That's a red flag. When everybody does that, it's a season.
So I already know who you're talking about.
I said in 2016, I said, the Jags will not do it.
They didn't have enough pieces. And
I said 2017, though, circle them, file it away, and so it was that they were one of the very best teams in pro football last year. Who's that team now?
You already know who you're about to say.
Who's the team? Everybody's
saying you're about to say the Niners.
What? Oh, that's a great one, too. That's a great one,
I don't know anyone else, then.
The Chicago Bears.
No way.
Everybody's getting so excited about the Bears.
That's easy, Shaq.
That's easy?
They're going to finish fourth in their division. So how are they going to go to the playoffs?
I encourage you to – you just said the Browns are going to the playoffs. They didn't win a game last year.
But it's different, though. They're not in the NFC North. You have Green Bay coming back. You have the Vikings spending all that money on all those guys who just won in that defense. And then you have Detroit.
The Lions are not bad.
Who are going to be
a sneaky good
team. And so what I'm telling you is they're fourth. But then we're talking about the AFC North. There's one team in the AFC North that you really concern yourself with. And the Browns have played them well the last couple of years.
I encourage you to go on there, Google Matt Nagy and Bears, or whatever else. Oh, the unbridled enthusiasm. This offense, look out. This is going to be the –
Shaq, let me tell you
this.
That's
what everybody's
talking about.
I'm
going to tell you this right now. The reason they're saying that is because they're in training camp right now. They're the second team in training camp. That's it. Once everybody gets going, that's the point.
Right now, everybody gets very excited about their team.
I said this on air, and I think you know, I was with Willie McGinnis. We were talking about Mitch. Well, I have to because he's on the digital wall of fame. But
Brown,
Mitch
legend.
Trubisky, they're saying like, oh, this is the year for him. You're right. Either you're good or you're not. And we're going to find that out this year. There's no going to be, oh, like last year, like, oh, he doesn't have an offensive guy. And, oh, no. They found an offensive coach. They've added all these pieces around.
Thunder and lightning in the backfield.
Either you're good.
Allen Robinson's nice.
Trey Burton, all these guys. Either you're good or you're not. So this is not one of those like, oh, well, he needs another year. No. This is what you're telling me. He's confident. He's tired of all the comparisons. He's tired of all the stuff. He doesn't listen to it. He wants to go out there and perform. I'm glad you said that because you have to perform. Because if you don't perform, this is one of those make or break years. We usually say by week three, by season three, as a pro, you know who you're going to be. Either you're a special teams guy, you're a superstar, you're a solid role player, whatever it may be, or you're just not good enough. Season two for Trubisky is going to figure out what he's going to be.
I don't disagree, and for all the unbridled enthusiasm, and by the way, I lived in Chicago for a long time. I lived there all through my 20s. I know that when the Bears are good, that's one of those towns that really gets excited about it. It's a great atmosphere.
You said the Bears? Really?
Throughout the fall, but I'm sorry, in 2018, Chicago Bears, no playoff for you.
I would have never. That would have been one of the first teams I would have said. It's just too. I think it's too hard for them to get in that division and win to get to second in that division to make the playoffs.
I think the biggest factor is the one that you pointed out. They've got to play the Packers twice. They've got to play the Lions, who are good.
Yeah, and the Vikings twice.
I think this is the year in an era when all these teams like beyond just pro football, but you know the Eagles finally got it done and the Cubs finally got theirs and so on and so forth. I don't know that the Lions are going all the way, but I think they're going to finally be.
Then think of the whole NFC that you're talking about as well. Right, the NFC South has three legit teams, maybe four, depending on how the Tampa Bay, if they fix what they have going on.
They're
going
to be bad teams, but the other three are good.
But three teams right there. You have one in the NFC West, possibly two with the Niners, right? So you have the Rams and the Niners, possibly the Niners. The North, you have three teams that can make the playoffs.
And let's not even talk about the East. The Cowboys and Eagles are going to be good.
You have three. I think the Giants are going to be good.
I know. Everybody but me thinks the Giants are going to be good.
Because I know when Odell's there, that makes a world of a difference.
Well, we've talked about this, but I would be interested in your insights in it.
Who was the Jenga piece that you guys have for the Giants?
Who did we say?
Was it Odell?
Oh, it was Odell.
It has to be Odell.
It was Odell.
Because that showed last year. That last year showed me everything. Like, you have to pay Odell $20 million now.
I keep pointing out the way the Giants, their first seven games are miserable, but their week one is the most fascinating of all.
Oh, yeah.
Your Jags go up there to play them.
Yeah, Tom, you know,
it's going to be fascinating for both teams because if Eli and company have their way even a little bit against the Jags defense,
oh, yeah, then they're going to be confident.
They're going to be mortal. But it also will make the Jags appear mortal to everybody else.
No, not really. I mean, they've beefed up. You have weapons. They have more weapons than most teams. The key was the offensive line. Now, we didn't get a chance to talk, and I don't know if we're running over time, but – how about Coach McAdoo and what he said in that article after he left? Like, is that how you want to go out? I enjoyed it for media purposes, but as a player, I would rather you tell me face-to-face before airing me out, my dirty laundry out to people. Like, oh, I think this guy sucked. Like, tell me why I sucked. Then don't just say you thought I sucked because, like, obviously your opinion now doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, but you're not a coward like I am. And apparently, like McAdoo is.
That was unreal. I've never seen anything like he aired out everybody. I've never seen anyone do that to a team. And then he'll probably get a job in the next year or two. But that's unreal to me.
Didn't Marone kind of do that, though, before he landed in Jacksonville?
No, I thought he quit. I thought he quit. He tried to go get the Jets job. Remember? He just left.
That's what it was.
He just left and tried to get the Jets job, and they gave it to the coach now. And then he ends up just out there.
Good news for you, Maurice. I have lately had an epiphany. I may swing back in the other direction. I've been saying for a long time, the bugaboo for the 2018 Jaguars is with a summer's worth of time for DCs to study Blake Bortles and figure out how to stop him. I think that he's going to be their undoing. But now I'm starting to go the other way. Maybe Blake Bortles will be halfway decent. He doesn't have to set the world on fire. Yeah. He just has to be halfway decent for them to
win. When I was down there, I mean, their whole thought process is this. If we can run the ball and force you to run certain defenses.
But you've
got
to be able to win some games throwing the ball 35, 40 times.
No, you don't.
They
didn't do it last year. They didn't do it last year. right? And they beat some really good teams last year. I think, and I'm this is to hide our bias with the Jags Pittsburgh game, but they beat some other good teams last year handily, and then they lost to the Titans. I mean, the Titans, who last year won a lot of games running the ball and playing solid defense, right? So I think the biggest thing is for Blake Bortles not to turn the ball over. If you don't turn the ball over, you always have a chance to win, and that showed in that Buffalo Bills wild card game where the Bills defense was really good and the Jags defense was really good. It was a small game, but the Bills turned the ball over a couple times, and that was how they lost. Nate Peterman came in and threw a pick like he always does.
Do you agree with my statement that I've made to a few people that it has no value, it's a moot point, but if the Jesse James touchdown had counted, then the Jags would have hosted the Patriots in the divisional round.
Mm-hmm.
They would have beaten the Patriots down in Duval County. Then, after that massive singular victory to vanquish the big bully of the AFC, they would have been slightly down. They wouldn't have been as mentally ready for the Steelers. The Steelers, conversely, would have been right
for what was
coming to town, and they would have handled it.
The biggest problem for what I heard about that week was
and
that
the Steelers would then have won the Super Bowl.
The Steelers had said that they were more focused on the Patriots than the Jags, and that like upset them a little bit. But I still think that at that point, even with that being said, the Steelers would have said in the AFC, like, well, it's just the Jags. We gave them the game. Like you said, we gave them the game last time. And then they would have went up there and, you know, do what they did again.
All right. Emma VP is interested in us doing this. She wants us to talk about the best newcomers for every team in the NFC West. Shall we do that right now, Emma VP?
Yeah, can't wait.
All right. Start with your team, the LA Rams, the reigning champions.
Ooh. The best newcomers so that they had to come in this year, right?
Yeah.
What
newcomer
means. Yeah, I mean, I know, but you never know with some of the rules in this place.
rules. That's a rule in this place.
I'm going to have to go with Marcus Peters.
I think Marcus Peters
is a guy that,
I like that
will cover every team's number one, and then they'll be able to move Tlaib to a number twos. But Marcus Peters is a younger guy, really smart, intelligent, and I think he comes in and allows Wade to run the defense the way he wants to.
Yeah, I can't see how this defense at least doesn't thrive. Now I am worried. We'll talk about
they have some special stuff for you too. I can throw it out there. I'll wait till the season comes around and I'll give you a little taste of this. The corner they got from the Green Bay Packers, I forget his name. No, not Tremont. He's with the Rams now.
Came over from.
He used to play for the Packers. I don't know where. Just name off the corners. It's another one. It's not Roby. It's another guy. I think I want to say Shields.
Not Sam Shields. Shields. It is Sam Shields. He's in L.A. now.
And that is the key. Ooh. Sam Shields is in L.A., and they're going to do some really nice things with him that I think are going to take advantage of some of the teams want to do. So remember that. Sam Shields is the name to remember.
All right. And, of course, the best defensive player in all the NFL,
no question,
there, Aaron Donald.
Yep.
And the guy who used to be considered the best defensive player in the NFL, and Ndamukong Suh. All right. San Francisco 49ers.
Whew, that's tough. I mean, is Jimmy a newcomer? No.
Nah, let's not count him.
Okay. I'm trying to think what they do in free agency. Do we know what they did in free agency?
They got they let Carlos Hyde go, and they brought Jarek McKinnon in.
Listen.
You like this.
Jarek McKinnon now becomes the ultimate weapon for what Jimmy Garoppolo they want to do. Remember when Kyle Shanahan was in Atlanta and he had those two backs? They were running routes and doing things like that. Jarek McKinnon becomes that guy. It was either him or I was going to go with the tackle they got from Notre Dame that I thought was going to be one of their top newcomers. But I think it's Jarek McKinnon because of Kyle can do more with him than he could do with Carlos Hyde.
That's been explained to me, but I've been seduced by Carlos Hyde's pedigree. I loved him back at Ohio State and always.
Oh, yeah, I do have that packet. Thank you.
See,
Sam Shields. I knew it. See, that was my fault.
Mike McGlinchey from Notre Dame.
Mike McGlinchey, yes. Real good player. Excited to see what he can do. All my boys are Niners fans, so I'm trying to, hold back the hate a little bit because all my boys are coaches for the Niners. But I think McKinnon definitely is the number one guy. Some people are going to say, oh, Richard Sherman. I think Sherman's going to come in and be able to help them mentally, but physically he's kind of –
I guess Shanahan was successful with that, relatively speaking, with that offense in his first year there. I guess I'm being overly cynical to doubt him. I just don't like the firepower or lack thereof compared
I mean, the Rams have an amazing receiving core that's going to be hard to put together.
But who's catching the passes?
Dante Pettis and from Washington is a really good wide receiver. I mean, I got a chance to watch him a lot this year in the pack, so they'll be fine. They'll be
all
good
right.
Though.
Now let's go with the one-time bully of this division.
Oh yeah, yes.
Allen also ran, it would seem, the Seattle Seahawks, best newcomer.
As I'm looking at this, I'm going to have to go with Rashad Penny.
You think he works out?
He has to work out. If he doesn't work out, there's no – and they drafted him because the new offensive corner, Morningwig, is more of a downhill guy, and that's what Penny was at San Diego State. I had him as my – and it's funny – I'm glad we're talking. I had him as my number two back. And people
were like,
are you crazy? Are you crazy? And I'm like, no, he can actually play. He rushed for 2,000 yards with a team that didn't have any offensive linemen drafted.
I hear you. The only thing is sometimes the Seahawks draft pick, much like the Steelers drafting Terrell Edmonds out of Virginia Tech. I feel like it's a little bit like a fantasy owner who covets a guy a little bit too much, who's a little under the radar.
Well,
I think you would have had Penny in the second round.
No, but they wouldn't. They were drafting so late in the second round. I think he would have been gone. The reason they took him is this: they're trying to take a lot of pressure off of Russell Wilson. Last year they saw that he was just too much. It was too much. As much as he works out, they're putting too much on his shoulders. So they have to get a guy who can handle that load. And last year they were rotating backs like you know, underwear. So they have to figure out a way to get that going.
It's good to rotate your underwear. Once a day,
right,
Maurice?
Twice.
Twice a day?
If you work out. You work out.
That only makes good sense.
Yeah, if you work out at least twice.
All right, and the Arizona Cardinals. How
you already know. There's no reason to even bring this up.
Well, you know what, Maurice?
There's no reason
to
bring this up.
I'm glad to finally talk to somebody with some sense. I know
My goodness.
You like the powder blue there.
I told people this a long time ago.
I've been saying the same
thing. And I've gotten confirmation from some guys in Arizona. And now, granted, we interviewed Patrick Peterson. He was like, Sam Bradford's a guy. I get it. I understand it. You want a veteran guy. But that's what you're getting in Josh Rosen. One of my good friends, you know, I don't want to say no names. I'm not a name dropper. Plays for the Cardinals, and he was saying that, you know,
Larry Fitzgerald.
He's young. No, I'm not gonna say anything else. He's young, and he's gonna make some young mistakes. But the difference between him and most rookies, and this guy has played with some rookies, some guys that are now in the league that we hold in high regard, who were rookies, and some Hall of Fame quarterbacks. He said
Dan Dierdorf.
Yeah, he said that Rosen's ball placement is exceptional. Some of the best he's seen.
Well, of course he's got an electric arm.
He's smart,
super smart guy,
and that they can, and that these coaches encourage that. Now I've heard Steve Weiss say that, you know, he's going to end up starting because he's going to get so many reps with the ones and playing so many games because of the deal they have with Sam Bradford, like, you know, keeping him off the field and keeping him healthy. I think Rosen's going to be phenomenal, man.
I'm with you completely, and the thing that I've heard, and this makes sense, people, the story that was out there about him pre-draft was that you know, he's not lovable or that he's contentious or whatever, and yet when you talk to his teammates, they all like him a lot, and in fact, they love him for the most part.
He rubs people the wrong way. You know who else rubs people the wrong way? Tom Brady, when he takes pictures with his shirt off.
What'd you think of that? A pro athlete.
I like his dad bod. It makes me feel better about myself sometimes.
Yeah, but you're not in the NFL.
No, when I was in the NFL, I had an APAC, so I'm going back to that. But I mean, it just shows, like, with some of the greatest athletes, just don't look the part sometimes, and that's okay. But I think there's a lot of people. Josh Rosen has. We talked about this the whole time, and I remember sitting in this studio saying, like, listen, he is the best quarterback prospect since John Elway. People are like, you got to be kidding me. This is. I'm like, okay.
Well, that sounds a little.
Listen to me.
All right. I'm listening.
He has what it takes. He's confident. He doesn't need anyone to gas him up. He's smart. He's so smart that he makes some people around him who are smart feel bad.
That's right.
And that's the key.
And by the way, Colton Miller said to me, there were no cameras on or anything at the draft. Colton Miller gets drafted. It's a big moment in his life, obviously. We stop Kibitzing, and he gets up, he takes his mic off, and he turns to me and he said, "Hey, did you get to talk to Josh Rosen?" I confirmed that we had, and he said, "I don't know where this stuff is coming from that his teammates don't like him. We love him. He is a great guy. He's a great teammate.
He
I just want that
truth.
Out there.
He speaks
I want
the
that
truth,
out
Shaq.
There. And here's – so how is that possible? Then why would there be all this negativity? Because he argued with the coaches, and the coaches don't like that.
Well,
right?
this is one thing I always tell people about Josh
Rosen. But Peyton Manning told the coaches he was wrong and was allowed
and
to
And he's
that.
Okay. And we see Tom Brady berate OCs all the time, right? It happens. That's what happens. He's not supposed to do it because he's 19 or he's 20. He's supposed to be respectful. But if you feel strongly about what you have going on and you can – articulate that to a coach, the coach should be able to respect that. I think I'll tell you one story about Josh Rosen was he wrote an article about the NCAA and how it's, you know, it's not fair to the kids.
And by the way, he's 100% right.
There was kids on this campus that I have kids now who are on this campus who were telling me these things that couldn't go home to eat. Like when it was break time, they had nowhere to go. There was no home for them to go. So they just stay in the dorms. And guess what? Sometimes the dorms aren't open all the time. Right? So now they have to find their way. Like, those are hard times that you have to do that a kid is supposed to be on scholarship that this school is making money off of is not feeding. Like, that's crazy to me. But he brought it to the light, and so he's a bad guy. He talks too much.
He's got, but you know what? For the Cardinals fans out there, he's got a chip on his shoulder, and that's can only be a good thing.
And I've spoken with him, and he you know, he's over the whole chip on his shoulder. Now he's focused on going out there and competing, doing whatever he can. But remember who he's throwing the ball to. They drafted a young receiver. You have Larry Fitzgerald there. David Johnson should be in there. You know, he's there. I mean, he has pieces around him too. Where at UCLA, he had a couple guys here or there, but it wasn't nothing like David Johnson or Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, the only concern I have for him that seems practical and legitimate is that he's slight. He's not a thick guy.
He is. He's bigger. This is the funny. People say
he's
that.
Tall.
He's bigger than Sam Darnold. He's taller and weighs more than Sam Darnold.
Is that right?
Yes.
Well, Sam Darnold's not much to compare anybody.
But no,
to.
I'm just saying. But no one says that that about Sam Darnold. Like he was the only kid that obviously the kid from Wyoming was bigger than everybody. But Josh was 6'4", 230 pounds. I mean, that's big enough. That's completely. I mean, Jared Goff is 6'4".
I'm a man of justice, and I don't like the way that whole pre-draft jazz went down.
Man, he went to the best place for him to go.
I think he did, too. Yeah, and by the way, not a ton of pressure on him there either.
No, because remember, that coach didn't get fired. He retired.
I could see.
That's the key.
Yeah, guys don't want to get booed, and maybe he would get sideways if he got booed.
No, he got booed. He's been booed before.
Yes?
Yeah.
All right. Maurice, you've never been booed, have you, except by Colts fans.
I've been booed by everyone, and I love it. I love the hate. Just make sure you hit the follow button when you hate. That's all.
Maurice is back from his summer of love. Now he's back to an autumn of intensity, right?
I'm on the grind for a Rams championship. Hopefully we get a Jags championship and the Raiders get one as well. But then on top of that, Sheck, we're going to win here at NFL Media, and then I'm going to win a San Ramon T-Birds Junior Pee Wee championship this year with my kids and
where
our team.
The only question is, where are you going to keep all those trophies?
Oh, I mean, they put it in the garage. They'll get dusty. They'll be fine.
That's not what it's about, is it, Murray?
It's always about the next one.
That's right.
It's always about the next one.
That's how I live my life as well. All right, listen. Dynamite stuff for Maurice Jones-Drew. And what a pleasure to see you.
It's always good to see you, too.
We've had a wonderful spring and summer, but now I know football season's here when 32/21 is seated to my left there. Now I can't wait. Now I'm officially ready to go. We'll talk with you later in the week, and we're going to talk with Martellus Bennett, I believe, and Jeff Schwartz, another jersey hanging in the Wall of Fame, is going to be with us. And Eddie Spaghetti and his pal Martin Weiss are going to make
it. Can I tell you something real quick?
You may.
This is, I feel kind of like used around the Wall of Fame. Why? Used to be like something that we worked hard for. Now there's too many people on. I don't know if I want to be on it anymore.
What are you talking about?
There's
you're not allowed. What are you, T.O.? You don't get to
too
make
many,
the rules.
It's just too many jerseys on there now. It used to be like three.
It looks nice.
And now it's just, you got James on there.
You don't like Sean O'Hara and Willie McGinnis?
I'm just saying, I'm just saying, Willie's been here a long time and he gets on the wall. I mean, I don't know, Sheck. You used to have to put in the work to get on the wall. Now you just you know, being a group.
Well, while you were out lollygagging or doing whatever you were doing in Orlando, Florida, you know what? A couple guys putting in the work were O'Hare and McGinnis.
I don't know. I don't like the taste of this pie that I'm eating. Are we having a pie off this year again?
Of course we're having
okay,
a pie.
Okay, well, we got to make sure I'm going to be around for it. Let's not do it like last year and just tell me the day of.
Wow. I don't know if that happened.
We tell you for 6 months. But all right. Either way, you'll have your pie and eat it too when that day arrives. In the meantime, though, big show on the way later in the week. Make sure you check out Good Sports on the Adam Carolla Show each and every day, available on Apple Podcasts. And also, Dave's of Thunder, also available at Podcast One and Apple Podcasts. But for now, for Eddie Spaghetti and MVP behind the glass, and for Maurice Jones-Drew seated to my immediate left, we'll talk to you in a couple days. Till then, it's been a dense slice of heaven.